Did you know that the Occupy movement is alive and well in many, many, many states? In fact, about 300 protesters were arrested over the weekend in Oakland, California. One of the things we'll be talking about. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. That's the start of the work week. What a wild weekend it was. And what a crazy week it'll be set up to be, I think. With the Florida primary, a lot of people focusing their eyeballs on what's going to happen there. In the polls, Newt Gingrich has surged. Mitt Romney has surged. And Newt Gingrich is claiming that Mitt Romney is a liar, among other things, and that he manipulates the situation. Well, that sounds like a politician to me. On both sides of the aisle, we have plenty of those people. So the back and forth between Romney and Gingrich continues, and Rick Santorum, in the meantime, sneaks back to Pennsylvania, as he should have. His daughter had a bad case of pneumonia, so he dumped out of some of the things that he was doing in Florida, and he'll come back. Tuesday is the vote, and it looks like, at least in the polls, Mitt Romney is going to pick up those 50 delegates. It also looks like this is going to continue and continue and continue and continue, although there are no more Republican debates until deeper into February, so it's a couple of weeks of a break without any of the four, at least, because no one's dropped out yet, that continue to debate whether it's immigration, economy, the policies, whatever it is, and things that are happening daily that sometimes will be wrapped into whatever life it takes on in the debate. Like, remember the piracy thing? Because, man, if they start to get their fingers, they being the government, into the internet, look out. That, my friends, would be a very, very bad thing. So when the bills were floating around and none of the bills passed and there was pressure just recently in the last week and a half, that became part of the conversation along the way in one of the two debates in Florida and South Carolina, and then on to Florida. So right from the get-go, we're talking a little politics here, mixing it up. The question that a lot of people are asking is, I've heard anyway, is why are you forcing Romney on us? I keep hearing that. Why are you forcing Romney on us? Everybody's talking about Romney. What about the other people that are up there? What about Rick Santorum? What about Ron Paul? What if we want Ron Paul to win? The problem is the way that we elect presidents. If your guy is not getting the delegates, then he's not going to be put up by the Republicans. So he might continue the loyal support. And I know a lot of people really like what Ron Paul's saying. They really like the libertarian stance and the, come on, that's about freedom. Let's protect some stuff here. But not enough of the people who are in power in the Republican Party to push him forward. That's why in the polls he keeps getting 8 or 9 or 10 or 11%. Now, if that changed in the primaries, then all bets are up. Too bad. If Ron Paul knocked down all the primaries, well, forget the first three. Let's say you move on, you got Florida, and then you go on down from there. If Ron Paul started to take a bunch of the primaries, then guess what? The Republicans would have to take notice, meaning the party people, the RNC, the national party. They would have to pay attention to Ron Paul, not just hearing people scream things out at debates, not seeing rallies, not any of that, because they don't care about that. They care about the numbers. And if the hardcore numbers were there, there would be no choice but for the Republican National Party to recognize a guy like Paul. Would be the same thing for anybody else, for that matter, because that's the way it works. If it's Rick Santorum or if it's Newt Gingrich and it's not Romney, even though Romney is the big push, too bad, tough tiddlywinks, then it would be ultimately Ron Paul. All right, let's go across the border and take our first one, Sam in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
How you doing, gorgeous?
Good. How are you? Did you have a good weekend?
Smashing.
Oh, that's nice. You never say you have a terrible weekend. That's a good thing. That means you are a glasses half full person. That's a good deal.
That's what happens when you hang around with Julie. You mentioned in the last hour people would do, miss funerals, miss the birth of babies, anything for the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
My boss, my boss where I work, we had a very important meeting. He skipped out because he's Italian to watch a World Cup game. There is a severe letter of reprimand now in his file. Where I work said, unless it's a family emergency, you don't. So translated, if I had to work on Sunday, I couldn't.
You gotta work.
Right.
Yeah, see, depending on what you do for a living,
right. If
you have to work, you have to work. I mean, even think of somebody's, a subway engineer. Somebody is a bus driver. Somebody works in a grocery store. Somebody works in many of the positions where you gotta, if you're not there, someone's gotta cover you.
Right.
So that's the thing. So you can't get off for the Super
Right.
Bowl.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and if they find out, see, that's the thing. If somebody found out and you put somebody in a bind, I get that. But I think there are other people, like the next day, they'll call in sick because they, let's face it, had a few drinks, a few cocktails at the Super Bowl party, and they just can't, they're not coming in the next day.
Okay, first of all, by the way, Julie and I are invited to a Super Bowl party. Someone has a big screen TV, high definition, so.
Woohoo!
Yeah, of course, since her friends don't drink and we're not exactly big lushes either, we're going to bring over cases of soda and we're going to need money to order in pizza.
That sounds good to me. Listen, it's all good. You're getting about the size of the screen then. If you're going to a party, guys, how much do the big screens matter? Big screens matter the most then, because that's when you want to see the Super Bowl. If you're going to go somewhere, you don't want to see it on a small box. Anybody throwing a party with a small box, I don't care if they've got good looking women and they've got great food if you're single. You're not going to that. You're going for wherever the big screen is. Absolutely.
One question. I know Joe Paterno unfortunately passed away last week. Did you ever have a chance to interview him?
One time, long time ago. And it was when I was in California. It's the first time I ever did a radio talk show, and it was sports driven. And the guy that I worked with helped me get Paterno on the air, and he was, of course, great. We talked to him for probably 15 minutes.
And you could have talked to him for 15 hours.
Yeah, and he was good. He was an easy interview because there's so much you could talk to him even then.
Right.
You could have talked to him about, and he was good, yeah.
Okay, now the question is, with the scandal going on at Penn State, do you think eventually after it dies down that they're going to rename the stadium after him?
That's a good question. I think it's not going to happen overnight because, remember, still Jerry Sandusky has to go through the trial process. Paterno just died. And they've just gone through that whole thing with the eulogy and memorializing him. And they did honor him for the 2 days on campus. So I wouldn't be surprised. They'd have to go through the Board of Trustees. They'd have to talk to more people about it. It's not going to happen overnight.
Right.
But sure, it could happen. I wouldn't be shocked by that. I mean, he was Penn State no matter what.
For
and
sure.
A lot of people feel like, Sam, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
A lot of people feel like he got shoved under the, under the bus for everything that happened. He, before he died, gave a couple of interviews and said he wished he had done more, but he did pass it up the chain of command immediately, so it wasn't that he didn't do anything. I mean, I think it was just a terrible cover-up by the university, but ultimately, probably, they already have scholarships for him, they'll probably rename the stadium. Stay with us, Saul Album, next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, Mike Pence with Midas Resources Incorporated, Senior Monetary Specialist. With foreign countries going bankrupt and states within the United States going bankrupt, not to mention all the Ponzi schemes in the marketplace, do you think your money and investments are safe? Of course not. Call me, Mike Pence, 1-800-686-2237, extension 181. I can help answer any questions you have about protecting your money, whether it be personal possession or holding precious metals in an IRA. Gold carries a 6,000-year history that is the only real and lasting money in the world. Cryptocurrencies have come and gone. Governments have toppled. The world map has changed many times, and yet gold still thrives in almost every country. Gold is the ultimate store of wealth. Central banks continue to maintain reserves of gold. Common sense begs the question, why? Let me help you answer that question. Call me, Mike Pence, 1-800-686-2237, extension 181. Call now, and I will send you free information on precious metals. Call Mike Pence, 1-800-686-2237, extension 181.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black.
Welcome back to America Tonight. We're hoping you're not going to get kicked in the head, although I just want to make sure you know, for everybody who has no retirement to speak of, and you're throwing the dice at the craps table, Matt Johnson informed me that Powerball is up to $170 million this year, this Wednesday. And if you play and you get the cash option, that'd be $106 million clear. $106 million clear. That's crazy. You can just live off the interest. Kind of like Mitt Romney. You know, he says he lives off his investments, which every time he gets pressed about the money, that's what he talks about. He lives off investments. Oh, that is the good life, right? So would you say he's in the 1%? All right, joining us now, always a pleasure to have our financial guru, Saul Albom, on with us from Oslo, Norway. Saul, how are you?
Well, certainly good enough to be in the 1%.
The 1%. Yeah, 99%, 1%. Which are you? I love that. Well, you know, you're starting to get fan mail here, and pretty soon we're starting up a magazine, so you'll be writing for the magazine. So I can only imagine that you'll just get bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's exciting stuff.
Well, my wife will say I need to go on a diet, but that'll work just fine. Anything I can do to help out, Kate, you know, we're here. And just so your viewers know, it is about 15 degrees Fahrenheit, and I will try to keep all of my fingers so that I can do all the good typing.
I like that, 15 degrees Fahrenheit. All right, so let's jump into a couple of things. You sent me some great notes talking about this in this first section about money and current events, which we always do. You and I go back and forth about that. Ben Bernanke talked about saying, well, he kind of hedged. I don't want to talk about being too optimistic, and we're cautious, and we're waiting to see what happens. Basically, you know, giving an update on the Fed. So he's playing it cautious because I think Bernanke gets burned by some of the stuff he says. So he's not going to go out in any kind of a big giant limb is what I got from that.
Yeah, you know, basically they want to have good transparency. They're all getting together, and there's a famous quote, if I'm paraphrasing a little bit, maybe some of your listeners will remember, where he says, if you understand what I'm saying, then you don't really understand what I'm saying. Because they have to speak so cryptically and speak to the markets and speak transparency. And you ever read the Fed minutes, they're pretty transparent, but it's not really qualitative, meaning that they don't really put numbers on it, and sometimes they do. So they're trying to start out with new transparency, new, kind of a little way to do things due to all the pressure the Fed has been getting about all these secret bailouts. So basically they're printing out kind of the dissenting votes, and they're getting a better description of what the heck is really going on, because in this ivory tower, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners out there may think it's the Mordor's Tower of Doom from the Lord of the Rings, we're getting a better idea of what the inside thoughts are. But basically, as far as the updates going, is they talked about exactly what we thought they were, which was more quantitative easing, which is more money printing, financial repression, which was on the notes, which we talked about just a hair, which I wanted to get to, which is effectively turning the banks into utilities to buy the debt, and then GDP targeting, which is a mysterious word, which will take about one sentence to explain to your listeners.
Yeah, so as you said, getting ahead of that, explain that. Go through
Very
that
good.
A little bit for us.
I was hoping you'd ask that. Okay, so GDP targeting, which is basically like, I want you to think of your listeners with a bathtub and water in it, okay?
Okay.
They're like, there's a drain coming out, things aren't going good, so we're just going to fill the bathtub until the bathtub is full. Okay, that's GDP targeting. They're going to print as enough money as it takes to get the economy rolling. So in the past, with QE1 and QE2, they said, we're going to print, say, we're going to have asset purchases, $300 billion, and it may take 3 to 6 months. Okay, and then they had QE3, where they're going to, we're going to make $600 billion worth of purchases, and then they announced a few months ago that it's over. And then they announced Operation Twist, where they're going to go on a long buyout and buy long-term bonds, push mortgage rates down. Okay. And, there is a free lunch, and then this will end up being good. So if the economy still keeps going is not doing as well as they want, unemployment's not looking good, and the people in power are in danger of getting thrown out, meaning Congress or the people who are running the federal government, what they're going to do is what your listeners are going to start hearing from the news. And now, Kate, we're usually about 4 to 6 months ahead of everybody. So usually this is probably going to happen over the summer. Okay. So, things are looking bad for the reelection of Obama. So we're going to print enough money just to keep things going, and we're not going to say it's going to be $600 billion. Maybe it's $300, maybe it's another trillion, maybe it's $2 trillion, we'll keep printing. But that way you can keep printing money, that's the policy, to target the gross, to target the GDP. Did I explain that reasonably enough?
No, totally. No, excellent. Your explanation was great. I think everybody could understand that for sure. Moving from that, because that's important, we talk about quantitative easing and what's going on and why things are targeted certain ways. You know, something that I've been paying attention to, of course, is what's going on in the stock market. And I think I'm sort of overwhelmed with all the information I get sometimes, as are other people out there. But one thing that we notice is some big earnings this week is coming up. This week was huge. What's going to happen now, like Amazon, everybody keeps talking about Jeff Bezos and how great he is and how Amazon is just doing amazing things, taking over the world. And we've seen that. And Amazon is a great stock, isn't it?
Yeah, that if you want to be into individual stocks, you really got to know an industry. So if your listeners out there are listening, and I don't know, let's say they work on a railroad, or let's say they work in computers, then I would say then maybe you got a good shot of doing stocks. So first is you got to know the industry very well. The second is, the most important thing of all is, of course, have a company that makes money, right? So you got to pay attention to the earnings. And Apple just had blowout earnings. What I like about Amazon, where I see this going, is that they're going to be competing with Apple. So Apple, it was a hardware manufacturer that started selling content, like software. They became the number one selling music store in the world in a matter of like 3 years due to iTunes, okay?
Now,
Amazon is the opposite. They're moving from pure content, where they had books and consumption, and now they're moving into devices with the Kindle Fire and the Kindles alike. So we know it may be the future where, you know, are you a Kindle instead of a PC or a Mac? It may be, are you a Kindle person, or maybe are you an iPad person? And so I really like the direction. So definitely would check out and continue to take a look at Amazon. So basically, as far as full markets going, for the rest of the year, and for at least from the short run, which is due to a lot of the money printing, that companies are still showing really high profits. And we've been talking about this the last 2 or 3 months, which is big companies are going to do well with money printing. And, of course, so everyone's having record earnings. So right now we've had 50% of the equity cap, meaning that 50% of the value of the S&P has reported. Earnings are up 11%. Revenues are up 10%. And that's what I was trying to get at the last couple episodes, Kate, which is, mm-hmm. if things are so bad, why are revenues and profits up?
Right.
I mean, if we're going to believe the line that, you know, corporations are evil and have all the money on the balance sheet and they're not hiring, that's fine. Okay. But that would mean the revenues are down, but both are up. Okay. So, so this is a good week to pay attention. Coming up, we got Exxon, Northrop Grumman, Allstate, Mattel, Pfizer, Merck, Qualcomm, UPS, Amazon reporting, U.S. Steel is reporting, McGraw-Hill, Chipotle, for all you burrito lovers out there. So we'll get a better idea of what's going on. But basically, it's just kind of Goldilocks. You know, it's not so great, not so good, and the money printing is keeping everyone afloat. And in my opinion, we'll keep, you know, prices will go up, prices will go down, but not anything too catastrophic up, and not anything too catastrophic down on the downside.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with you. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about a couple of things. Like, you and I have been talking about Japan for a long time, so we'll jump back into Japan. And also, personal finance. Saul wants to get into that, so pay attention. We've really been emphasizing this overall this year so far on America Tonight when we talk about what you're doing. And if there's a way that we can shed some light on some of the things you could be doing that might help you, perhaps. Stay with us.
What if pain could be reduced, ailments could be alleviated, physical and mental stress could be eased, and blood circulation increased, all by simply lying down? Introducing the original Biomat. The Biomat is an FDA-registered medical device that combines deep-penetrating infrared space-age technology and revitalizing negative ions with the incredible healing power of amethyst crystals. A Biomat can boost your immune system, relieve pain and stiffness, reduce stress and fatigue, and assist in detoxifying your body. Join the thousands of people reporting relief from chronic pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, sports injuries, insomnia, and much more. Each Biomat comes with a lifetime trade-in and 3-year warranty. Learn more at bio-mats.com, spelled bio-mats.com, or call 360-944-8692. That's 360-944-8692. Visit bio-mats.com today and enhance your life with a Biomat.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet payment when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at zero debt in 90 days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Listeners, it's Jason Lewis, and now that the holidays have come and gone, it's time to get serious about our New Year's resolutions. For 2012, resolve to protect your most valuable asset, your family. Daily, we hear about all the crazy stuff happening around the world, unemployment, food shortages, natural disasters, just to name a few. For my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious, ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna and savory stroganoff that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's WiseFoodStorage.com or call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947 and enter promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Peace of mind, the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Continue our conversation with Saul Album, who's in Oslo, Norway, talking about finances and whatnot. Before we jump into personal finances, a couple of things. What's going on with this whole European Euro, Germany getting upset, Merkel pitching a fit? What's going on?
Okay, so it's not politically expedient to give it's not politically expedient to give Greece money, you know, the Hellas money to retire at 50. So they're getting a lot of pushback, and what Merkel proposed was like, we need to put a bureaucrat that can veto whatever the Greeks put up if we don't like it. Okay, so imagine, like, you know, China comes in and says, well, we don't like Obama and Boehner's plan for, you know, 2012. So we have this guy here and Mr. Who, and Mr. Who's going to, you know, give you the thumbs up, thumbs down on your budget and your austerity and where, how much money you're spending on defense and how much money you're spending on pension. Yeah, we would just smack them in the face and they go down faster than Demi Moore on a crack pipe. So what they have going on is another Anschluss, which is, for your World War II buffs out there, is when Hitler came in and more or less said, hey, Austria, you're with us now. So that's what's going on. Is that we have history doesn't repeat itself, but it certainly rhymes. And now we have Germany sucking the sovereignty of another state, and that would probably happen with Spain and Portugal, and probably should be with Italy too. So there, yeah. You go. We have with our Anschluss going, and the Germans are taking over, and you know, it's not anything I was, you know, History rhymes. What can I say?
Yeah, I like
so,
that.
So that's a big thing in Europe is how that's going to go on. And in my opinion, Greece will default. Everyone will. And instead of taking a 50% haircut, which everyone agreed to a few months ago, now they're trying to do a 69% haircut. And then my research tells me it's got to all go to zero. Everything go to zero. Stay away from all that debt, guys out there. It's really risky. And, of course, who's buying it now where the German, apparently they're the number one trading volume, number two trading volume on the DAX exchange under, so you have, is German people, the moms and pops buying up Greek debt? Oh, hello?
Yeah. Are they buying it up? Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
I'm sorry. I'm just getting music into my, audio.
Uh-oh. Getting music. Something happened here.
Yeah.
I don't know. We have you on my end, so I don't know what's, happened. You can't hear me through the music, huh?
Oh, okay. But you know what? I think it was just a flashback from my 20s. I think I'm okay. Okay, got it. Sorry about that. We had a little technical glitch. I'm sorry, Kate. So, and then of course we have Japan too, or we could talk about personal finance, whatever
you like.
Yeah,
Japan just quickly. Japan, I mean, it's what we predicted now. You have been talking about Japan to me for a long time, and adios. I mean, it's in trouble.
Yeah, they're really, really in trouble. There's a research report put out by the second largest bank in France about 2 years ago, and that's what turned me on to this. And basically, for your listeners out there, this is going to be, this is like betting on Michael Jackson, or this is like betting on, or Michael Jackson before. At any point in time, it's kind of easy to predict. Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, you know, when all these guys are 18 years old. Okay, this is going to be a really easy one. So anyone out there, just Google Japan budget deficit, Google Japan Ponzi scheme. Okay, just start Googling this stuff and then start doing your own research. You don't have to take my word for it. But basically, they owe 240% of debt just on balance sheet debt to GDP ratio. They're manipulating the interest rates down to 1% or zero. They've had a zero interest rate policy. So, I mean, just on the simple end, the people are running, they're running out of people to sell their debt to in their own country and going to have to start selling overseas and selling to us. And that means even if they have a 2% or a rise of their debt prices to 2%, they have to start paying 2%. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be in trouble. It's like all your listeners out there. I know you're struggling out there. Imagine if only your rent doubled. Everybody out there, just your rent doubled, okay? You would really be in trouble. Not only would you be in trouble, imagine everyone out there. If everyone's out there, their rent just doubled, okay? Okay? So that's the problems that Japan is facing. They're not paying a 5% mortgage or 6 or 7% mortgage like we are. They're paying a 1%. And if it just goes to normal rate, the whole country is going to explode, violence. So what would be funny, Kate, is here's the ironic twist of history. It may be Japan that starts war with everybody because of all these money problems, you know, 2 to 3 years from now, and not China. China may be the peaceful one. Who knows? But that's the big problem. So
we rolled out
statistics last time, but they got about 240% debt to GDP. They're paying 1%. Their population is declining. Their savings rates down from 10 to 2%. They're liquidating $80 billion a year to pay for their retirement. 2012, they are expected to borrow more money to fund their government than tax revenue. Okay, so again, Japan is a bug looking for a windshield, and your listeners that are a little bit savvy should start checking it out. We should have a little ball countdown to their demise.
Yeah, no kidding. We should give away a prize for that. Maybe we'll do that. When do you think ultimately they're going to flatline? Absolutely.
That's a great idea. When I was a child, when I was in school, we had to pick what snow day we're going to get off. Okay, so maybe we could do that. Like, have your listeners just pick a date, and you don't even have to know finance well. And of course, the luck of all things, it's going to be, you know, one of your listeners who works, you know, the night shift, right? We could have a little prize pool or something. You get an autographed copy of Kate's book or something.
Yeah,
if
we'll
you guess right when they
we'll
default.
Do it. We'll come up with a timeline, and we'll talk about that. Absolutely. Let's quickly move on to personal finance. And I love the headline you sent me: How Not to Be Poor.
Yeah. Yes. You know, basically, you can live a great life in America and Western countries as long as you're not poor. So basically, there's three main rules to not be really poor. And then there's a couple things that I put up. We may be running out of time, but to talk about middle-class mistakes that people make. And because I grew up poor, so some of those things that I learned poor is, even though I'm doing well for myself, still kind of affect my mentality. So we can talk about that. But basically, how not to be poor is just three rules. And I think we talked about this. This is kind of a rehash of an episode we had about 3 years ago. We talked about this. Okay, three things. One, from high school. Two, wait till you turn 21 to get married and then have children. So no teenage pregnancy out there. I know you guys are thinking about that. Everyone loves it.
Yeah.
Okay, second is have a full-time job. If you can just do those three things, okay, and then I would add on just stay away from drinking and driving because that's really expensive, ruins everything. I mean, everyone had friends that's gone through that. You also hurt people. And stay away from just drugs and alcohol. Stay away from drugs and alcohol. Graduate from college. Don't have children out of wedlock. And you will have a great life.
That's easy.
So here's the statistics to back it up. If you just graduate from high school, wait till you're 21 to get married and have kids, and then do your best to have a full-time job, you only have a 2% rate of poverty in the U.S.
Wow.
If you violate all three rules, then you – this is according to the Brookings Institution, okay? Then you have a 76% chance of being below the poverty line. You break all three.
Oh, that's scary. 76%.
If you do not graduate from high school, if you have kids before you're 21, okay,
right,
and you don't do a good job of holding just any full, I don't care if it's hauling trash, it's a noble job. I don't care. Okay.
Yeah.
Just anything, 40 hours a week, and you will not be poor.
Wow. All right, so that's sage advice because you've got the statistics from the Brookings Institute to back it up. And you say there's mistakes that middle-class people make, and that's what tanks them.
Yes, yeah. You know, this really turned me on. This really got me thinking about this when I met a guy who worked at a really big hedge fund. And he said that the hedge fund company, they did a really bad job, okay, and they closed the hedge fund, okay, lost everybody money. But here's the deal, I'll never forget, is that the hedge fund manager bought furniture that was antique, okay? So he would buy tables and desks, I don't know, that were $20,000 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
But when he screwed up and he had to fund his hedge fund, when he sold the furniture, he broke even or made money because they were antiques. Okay,
quality.
So what I'm trying to get a point going across is that there's certain things that wealthy people do that even when they're using disposable money, stuff that we would buy. You know, I was like, man, I bought an office, I bought it, and then I paid a few $1,000, and then if it didn't work out, I'd have to liquidate it. I'd get like 50 cents for this cheap stuff, these chairs you have to resell and everything like that.
Sure.
So that got me thinking about how my clients and how wealthier people and how, when I started making money, how I should start spending money. And there's a few things that people do and one of them is I kind of sent you a little list here, Kate,
sure,
which is we'll start from the bottom, which is they don't buy quality for the wrong reasons. So a lot of times, because we don't have enough money in the moment, we'll go to, I don't want to name a name, but we'll buy cheap things that don't last. And we're saying, well, if we buy five cheap things, then they'll be better than having one expensive thing. Okay, so a lot of times clothing, for instance. So you have to buy cheap jeans that fall apart after a few washes. And, you know, it really got me thinking about that. So really is when you're looking to make purchases, you got to make sure that it is, if you're going cheap, it really is the best way to do it. But usually it's not. Believe it or not, when you take a look at quality things that you buy, maybe, Kate, maybe Kate, you can comment about this more, but we have a lot more to talk about as far as credit card debt and contracts and things like that.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to do that, definitely. We'll do that next time around. Saul Alvin, thank you so much. Hang with us, everybody.
Hi, folks. Jason Lewis here. Did you know USA Today reports that nearly 20% of parents plan to take a second job to pay bills and support their families? Well, bravo. I applaud responsibility. But I have a far better idea, a way for you to stay home and earn that second income to pay bills or get ahead financially. I recommend starting your own internet-based home business through IncomeAtHome.com. They can help you start earning money fast. No selling soap, no cold calling, and no pressure. No matter your age, education, or experience, you can do this in the comfort of your home. They provide the coaching and they bring potential customers to your home computer. You can literally earn money from your kitchen table. And you know, I recommend IncomeAtHome.com to all of my listeners. So visit IncomeAtHome.com and check out the $1,000 giveaway. That's IncomeAtHome.com. Don't forget to tell them Jason Lewis sent you. That's IncomeAtHome.com, IncomeAtHome.com, IncomeAtHome.com.
Emergency preparedness plans must include a fast way to start a fire. Fire up instantly with the revolutionary Quick Stove, a compact, lightweight, portable stove that's ready for cooking in less than 1 minute. Quick Stove, the safe, non-explosive fuel source that is an emergency preparedness essential. Quick Stove comes with four waterproof fuel cells that ignite in seconds, burn for up to 90 minutes each, can be lit and relit, and be stored indefinitely. At up to 18,000 BTUs, Quick Stove is ready to boil water in less than 5 minutes and burns hotter than most outdoor stoves. Now, the best part. Quick Stove starts at only $34.99 and comes with a 100% satisfaction or your money back guarantee. Order today at quickstove.com or call 801-784-0225. That's 801-784-0225 or go to quickstove.com. Click on the discounts tab for multi-unit savings. Quick Stove, quite possibly the world's fastest outdoor fire.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Some great advice from Money Man there, because in telling you about the quality versus quantity thing, you know, my mother drilled that into my head, and I can't say that I always followed it, and it is easy to run out and buy cheap stuff because you think, oh, I'm not going to spend as much money or whatever, but he makes a point where sometimes that bites you, and if you follow a different code, then it can lead to more money ultimately in your pocket. The other thing is, and Saul will talk about this in the future, is read the fine print on contracts. People never do that. I have been guilty of that in the past. Not any longer, though. I read everything. I mean, even apartment complexes. When you get your first apartment and there's like 50,000 pages you have to sign, but then you don't, you know, you look at, oh, just put your initials here and your initials here. I know you've all done this. I know you've all done this. Put your initials here. Put your initials here, because you're just, you got stuff in your car. You're trying to unload it, and that's, you're just thinking about that, right? And you don't really read the fine print, and then you get stung by something that you didn't realize not your fault, but too bad you signed your initials on it and you're tied up in that, whatever it is. Whether it's the escape fees, breaking a lease, or something else. I mean, that's just an easy example of contracts that will get you. And the other thing is, too, so many of us, and listen, all of us fall into this trap, too, where you care about too much what you drive. And when you are paying $700, I ran into someone a couple of weeks ago, was paying $700 to ride around in a nice car. And it wasn't like, okay, I've got this great car that I have to pay because my credit was so-so, so I'm going to pay $700 because ultimately I know that's going to land some big deals. Oh, what a mistake. Costing a fortune. Ridiculous. No furniture in the house, but $700 to pay for a Mercedes. That wasn't even a brand new Mercedes. That was a lease. That is not a good thing to do. I'm not lecturing you on all this stuff. We're just giving you some advice. That's why we love to have Saul on. He comes on every couple of weeks. And next time we'll pick up that thread and talk more about some things that you can be aware of so that you get yourself into a much better situation. All right, as we do each and every show, and you have definitely slammed me with mail over the weekend, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Yes, we do have mail. Let's see. Got a lot of mail on what's happening with the Republicans in these primaries. Here's one from Johnny B., who says, "Hello, America. Tonight I've been listening to all the political nonsense. I have to say I'm a Republican, and I will definitely vote for a Republican, but it's so disheartening that no matter what people are saying on talk shows like this one, for some reason, Mitt Romney is the guy that always gets trotted out. I don't understand, Kate. Please explain." Well, here's the thing. The Republican National Committee, I mean, they're looking at what's the best. It's like a horse race to them, right? Who's the best guy that we think that can go up against Obama that we hope, because we want to be able to pump money into them. It doesn't always work out that way, or we're looking for something else different to come down the pike. I mean, look at the last time around, what happened when it was wide open on both sides. How did you end up with John McCain? It looked like McCain wasn't going to make it at all. In fact, if you looked at the beginning of that race, Mike Huckabee, he was looking good. Remember, Romney was in that thing, too. He was part of the crew that was trying to get the nomination. You had Rudy Giuliani, who was pushing for that in the very beginning, skipping a whole bunch of other things and heading to Florida, figuring this is where he could win big, get the delegates, and he could maybe skate off into the nomination. But look, it ended up being John McCain. It seems to me there's something wrong with what's happening in the Republican Party with nominating people. When I was in Washington, one of the things that I couldn't get someone to really go on the record and say this to me, but it's obvious and it's what happens in political politics, you know, in politics and party politics. And one of the things is there's almost this attitude like the Academy Awards, where they give an actor who's got this long history of incredible roles, and they're such a respected actor, but they never won an Academy Award. So they give him a legendary Oscar, which is now has become prestigious. Oh, it's prestigious because you're a legend and you're getting this award. But, geez, you never won an Academy Award for any of the film roles that you played. Or a better example is somebody's been great in a whole bunch of movies, and then they win an Oscar, and you hear people in the Hollywood business say, oh, well, that was because they really got missed the last couple of times, so this is a makeup Oscar. So I've heard Republicans say, which is ridiculous, that it's a makeup for somebody who's been loyal to the party, someone who's helped other people get elected, somebody who's been in there in the Senate or Congress or whatever, and their name comes up, and someone like a John McCain. So it's his turn. Let's give it back to him. Let's give him the turn. That is not the way to go. Why not have the best person, the most electable person running? I mean, I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican for that matter. Wouldn't you want to have the strongest person running ultimately? So is Mitt Romney the strongest person, or just the person who got missed the last time around? And geez, he's helped us on numerous occasions, and we think that he's got a sort of a, he can appeal to the moderate side too, and maybe he can get those independents. And yet there's such a big movement of anyone but Romney. And I'm not just talking about this little tiny slice we have here on America Tonight. I'm talking about listening to what people are saying around the country, really talking to people from the Northeast to the Midwest to the South, Southeast, Southwest, and the West. And yes, there are people that are supporting Romney. I mean, we're talking everyday folks, but I don't think the majority, I'm not feeling that. I'm not feeling that Romney love. So that's what you do. You put up the person that got missed or get the nomination because of XYZ. Oh, that there's something's wrong with that. So anyone saying that, that's not right. You got to go with the best person available. And for that matter, the people who are the best people to run should run for political office. Should, you know, unfortunately, I think a lot of people get scared off because they see the microscope now that you're under and they don't want it. They just rather stay in public life and try to help with other causes, but they don't want to be involved in public, you know, life. They don't want to be in the public service, rather. They don't want to do that, so to speak, public service. They don't want to do that because they don't want to end up on the trash heap like so many other people have, where just for, you know, innuendos become the reality and that knocks somebody down or some crazy things happen that aren't even true in somebody's personal life, because that's happened to a few people, and then they get knocked down a peg. You know, the bottom line is the political system in Washington is just more than broke, and there's better words to use for it. And I think that it's just a sad day when you're saying that, geez, this guy's he's a good guy. He's a good guy. And we need to reward those kind of people because over and over again, they've come up to bat for us. Can you give him a plaque or give him a position, some other position other than running for president? But hey, he's coming up in the polls. And if people want Ron Paul, then they need to vote for Ron Paul in the Republican primaries. Because by not voting in the Republican primaries in their state, they're not getting Ron Paul the delegates that he needs. So there's the answer to that question, because it seems that Ron Paul is the direction a lot of people wish that was happening. All right, so I went off into a tangent here. Quickly, let's go back to the mailbag. And here's this one. This comes to us from Jake in Austin. Kate, I know you're a movie fan. I hear your cheap movie reviews heading into the weekend. I just wanted to tell you, thumbs up to Mission Impossible. I don't know if you said that you saw that or not, but I think it's done really, really well at the box office. Who cares about that? I just liked it. It was an adrenaline rush. I did see Mission Impossible. It's not nominated for anything. It is cleaning up at the box office along with Sherlock Holmes, and it was a really good movie. Tom Cruise really needed that. He has to love that people are loving this version of Mission Impossible. Jeremy Renner was in it. He was great. And it was a good movie. If it comes out on video the next 8 months or however long it takes, wait for it then. Grab it on Redbox. You have to pay the $9 to go and see it. But, folks, you'll love it. I agree.